Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaura Vani Pracharne. Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chyadesha Tarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchkap Tarubhyas Chai Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Ki Jai. Shri Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. So devotees, we are right at the end of the third chapter. There are only three more verses to go. So we'll go through them and then we'll go on to the fourth chapter. So here then, we're still with Lord Shiva in Shiva Loka. We're still there. And he is still advising Narada that you must go and get the association of Prahlad Maharaj, because he's really special. In the previous verse 83, Lord Shiva raised a question about two people. One was Bali and one was Bana. Banasura was a big demon who fought with Krishna. And Bali, of course, he's described in the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He stole the universe away from Lord Indra and the demigods, but then Lord Vamana came and by special means took it back. So the first question is, why did the Lord become a guard at Bali's door? Why? And the answer is because Bali is a descendant of Prahlad. That's why the Lord took up that low type of position. Not because of any special relationship with Bali directly, but because Bali was a descendant of Prahlad. And then Banasura, Krishna was fighting with Banasura. But Banasura, what happened to Banasura? Because of Prahlad's devotion, Banasura was also connected with Prahlad. And therefore, the Lord spared Banasura. Not just because Lord Shiva asked him to. So, yes. So, like this. 84 goes on to say that in both cases with Bali and Bana, it was because of the connection with Prahlad that they got special treatment from the Lord. In 84, Lord Shiva says this, but then he also tells Narada that I can't say more, I'd like to say more about the glories of Prahlad, but I can't in the presence of Gauri or Parvati, because she's such a close friend of Lakshmi, and Parvati has said, go to Lakshmi, because she's got the special favor of the Lord. So anyway, so we go on then to 85. And Lord Shiva's concluding, because there's only 85 and 86 left in the whole chapter. Go quickly to Sutala. Offer Prahlad your countless blessings. Embrace him and tell him, I embrace him again and again. Prahlad at this time is residing on Sutala. It's the third Patala planet. Wait a second, let's just turn this off. It's the third Patala planet. And it's ruled by Bali Maharaj. And Prahlad was invited by Lord Vamana to visit Sutala, so he's down there at the moment. This is described at the end. Well, it's described in the 8th canto. Chapter 23, verses 9 and 10, where the Lord says, my dear son Prahlad, all good fortune unto you. For the time being, please go to the place known as Sutala, and there enjoy happiness with your grandson and your other relatives and friends. You shall be able to see me there in my usual feature, with disc, club, lotus, and conch shell in my hands. Because of your transcendental bliss from always personally seeing me, you will have no further bondage to fruitive activities. And then we come to the very last verse of chapter 3. And it's an interesting verse. Lord Shiva says, unfortunately, that best of saintly persons will not tolerate our bowing down to him or praising him. If you want to avoid getting into trouble, do not neglect this fact. So, the very humble devotee, Prahlad. Some of these devotees, if you start glorifying them, they just walk away. They just won't stay there. So this brings us on to chapter 4. Chapter 4, which is Narada visits Prahlad in Sutala Loka. Okay, let's just have a look at our notes here. Oops, where are we? Here we are, yes. So the question is, of course, is Prahlad Maharaj the recipient of the greatest mercy of the Lord? At least that's the subject matter of the first part, which is from verse 1 to verse 39. And then there are subsections. First subsection is verse 1 to verse 3. And that's describing Narada's arrival in Sutala Loka. Then from verse 4 to verse 14. Narada glorifies Prahlad. Yes. In all sorts of wonderful ways. And then from verse 15 to 39, Prahlad Maharaj replies to Narada Muni that not only has he received, not only has he not received the most mercy from the Lord more than anyone else, but as Prahlad says, he has not even got one atom of the Lord's mercy. It's really. So that's from 15 to 39. We'll see how far we get. We're not going to make it to verse 39 for sure. I don't know if we'll even reach verse 14, but let's just see how it goes. Okay, so now, let's see. Right. So let's read first section, Narada's arrival, verses 1, 2, 4. 3, 1 to 3. So verse 1, Sri Parikshit said, after the sage Narada heard Lord Shiva's words, which impressed him as most amazing, he was eager to see Prahlad in person. He at once, therefore, traveled to Sri Sutala by the path of the heart, and entered running into the city of the demons. Well, okay, by the path of the heart means that by the power of the mind. The purport says, the path of the heart Narada traveled on is the mind itself. In other words, as soon as he desired, I want to go to Sutala, he at once arrived there. Hare Krishna. That's amazing. Okay, and verse 2. Prahlad, the best of Vaishnavas, was in a secluded place, absorbed in loving meditation on the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Seeing the Brahmin Narada approaching from a distance, Prahlad quickly stood up and then offered prostrate obeisances as Narada came close. Wow. So, as described here in this verse 2, Prahlad was completely absorbed in loving meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord. And when Brihad Bhagavatamrita says absorbed, it means totally absorbed to the complete exclusion of awareness of anything else. Yes. So, therefore, Prahlad, without receiving information from his external senses, he became aware that Narada Muni has arrived. Yes. So Prahlad, of course, was meditating on the Lord, as mentioned. And, well, it's not so clear from the verse, but the purport says, his concentration was so fixed that when he became aware that Narada was approaching, he could not respond at once. He was so absorbed in meditation on the Lord that even when he became aware that Narada is here, he couldn't withdraw his consciousness from the meditation and greet Narada immediately. I mean, we're talking about seconds here. But that's the point. He was not able to respond at all until his consciousness kind of came back to being focused externally. So by the time Prahlad stood up, Narada was already close. He was more or less right next to him. Right. Text 3. With some effort, Prahlad induced Narada to accept a seat and then began, like others before, to worship him in accordance with standard rules. But Narada, feeling great reverence for Prahlad, refused the worship. He shed tears of joy and tried to embrace Prahlad. And then he spoke as follows. So, because Narada was reluctant to accept the seat that Prahlad offered, so Prahlad had to force him to take it. You know, it's the standard etiquette that when some guest comes, even uninvited, unexpected, you still, first thing, you must offer them a place to sit. Then some sweet words. Then something to eat, then something to drink. So first thing, though, is you must offer a seat. So Prahlad offered a seat, but Narada refused to accept the seat because he has so much reverence for Prahlad. So Prahlad had to force him, physically force him, to sit down. Then Prahlad brought water to wash Narada's feet, and then argya, which is a sort of ceremonial substance used in the process of puja, argya and other paraphernalia for doing puja. But Narada stopped him because Narada wanted just to embrace him, and he did. So then we go on. From verse 4 to verse 14 is Narada, as usual, praising, in this case, Prahlad. So here we go. Sri Narada said, "Now, after so long, I've finally seen you, the true recipient of Krishna's full mercy. Now my efforts have borne fruit. From your very childhood, you have been endowed with pure devotion for Lord Krishna. Such spontaneous love has never been seen anywhere before." Wow, that's amazing. So there's a comment here that Narada, you know, that the point that's made is that Narada has studied all these points before. Who are the Lord's most intimate devotees? Narada is a big Shastriya, a big scholar, so he knows about the Lord's most intimate devotees. And therefore he knows a lot about Prahlad. And verse 5, by virtue of that pure devotion, you overcame terrible obstacles, the thousands of outrages your father committed against you, and by your influence, all the demons became Vaishnavas. Right. So, anyway, you know, Hiranyakashipu is famous for being a demon. And the Lord protected Prahlad when Hiranyakashipu tried to kill him in so many ways. And then Prahlad at school, he influenced the children of the demigods to become devotees. Verse 6. Now this is all now Narada is just glorifying Prahlad. Why he thinks Prahlad has got more mercy from the Lord than anyone else. While immersed in meditation on Krishna, you seem to forget your own existence. Like a madman, you danced and sang and called out loudly, your body trembling. In this way, you spread devotional service unto Lord Vishnu, delivering all the worlds from the cycle of material life and filling them with joy. So in the purport, as Narada says, the point, a point which is made is that when pure devotees become completely absorbed in remembering the Lord, then you never know what they're going to do. Yeah. Sometimes they behave in very unusual ways that people may think this person's intoxicated or this person is mad, something like that. And indeed, in Nectar of Devotion, in chapter 18, which is talking about Prema Bhakti, the point is made that one of the characteristics of a devotee on the level of prema is that they cannot be understood by ordinary people, or at least they often cannot be understood. So yes, this applies. This applies to Prahlad Maharaj, as Narada is describing. In the purport, Hari Bhakti Sudhadaya, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, is quoted in regard to Prahlad's influence on people who simply witnessed his ecstatic symptoms. Listen to this. Upon hearing his brilliant words, some people felt an extraordinary sense of detachment from material life and began to shed tears. Others who saw him responded by bowing down to him. Others were amazed to see him playfully laugh and simply stood in groups watching him. All these persons were relieved of worldly contamination. Prahlad delivered many people, ordinary people, not just by freeing them from unhappiness, but also by giving them the highest happiness of pure devotional service. So Narada continues, when Lord Krishna appeared on the shore of the ocean, he placed you on his lap and caressed you like a mother. Thus he honored you, ignoring Brahma, Shiva, and the other demigods offering prayers, and even ignoring the goddess Padma. So this is all. This is referring to Lord Nrisimhadev killing Hiranyakashipu, having killed him already. Yes. That Lord Nrisimhadev was still furious, and no one could do anything to pacify him. And therefore, his personal servants, even his wife Lakshmi, they were standing back, awestruck, too afraid to come near him. But then Brahma, of course, asked Prahlad to go forward to the Lord. And this is how Hari Bhakti Sudhadaya describes the reaction of Lord Nrisimhadev. The Lord, who is friendly only to his devotees, then sat down on the ground and put Prahlad on his lap. Gently rocking back and forth, he patted Prahlad with his lotus hand and embraced him repeatedly as a mother embraces her child. So, like this, the Lord attended to Prahlad, disregarding the many other exalted persons present. It's amazing, isn't it? The Lord, who is friendly only to his devotees, put Prahlad on his lap, and then rocking back and forth, he patted Prahlad with his lotus hand and repeatedly embraced him as a mother embraces a child. Sure, that's really amazing, isn't it? And verse 8, Brahma, terrified, begged you to approach Sri Nrisimha. And when you fell at the Lord's divine lotus feet, the Lord stood up and raised you from the ground. He put his lotus hand upon your head and began to lick your entire body. So there's a purport. In the purport it said that when the Nrisimhadev came out of the pillar, he seemed so angry with Hiranyakashipu for his abuse of Prahlad that Brahma thought the Lord is going to destroy the whole universe. That's how Lord Brahma felt. So Brahma then prayed to the Lord, please reduce your anger. But the Lord did not respond to the prayer. Then Brahma asked Prahlad, you please intervene. Bhagavatam 7.9.3 says, my dear son, this is Brahma speaking to Prahlad, my dear son, Lord Nrsimhadeva is extremely angry at your demonic father. Please go forward and appease the Lord. So Prahlad then went, threw himself at the lotus feet of the Lord. But the Lord picked him up and showered him with affection, as we read in the verse before, repeatedly embracing him. Repeatedly. It's just amazing that the depth of affection of the Lord for the devotee. And the Brihan Narasingha Purana states, Lord Nrsimha licked Prahlad's limbs as an ordinary lioness grooms her cub. Oh, Krishna, it's just amazing. All right, so verse 9. When Lord Hari, with most attractive and clever enticements, tried to offer you the supreme abode, you showed no interest in liberation, which is prayed for by Brahma and by everyone else. Rather, you asked only for devotion to the Lord, birth after birth. Yes, so it's a fact that Lord Nrsimhadeva offered him liberation. Yes. And tried to entice him. So, Bhagavatam says, 7.9.52, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore, you may ask from me any benediction you desire. But then Prahlad replied. Prahlad replied? Oh no. The Lord continued. This is from Hari Bhakti Sudadaya. The Lord continues speaking to Prahlad. My dear child, please give up this attitude of fearful respect that your reverence toward me has produced in you. I do not so much like this sentiment in my devotees. Instead, just feel free to express your love for me. When a devotee looks at me without hesitation and speaks to me affectionately, my pleasure grows with every new moment. Although I am eternally free from all limitations, such behavior binds me with ropes of love. Although I am unconquerable, my devotees can conquer me. And although I am subject to no one's control, I become their subordinate subject. I belong only to him who has shown his love for me by giving up all affection for family and possessions. And such a devotee also belongs to me. So, the Lord belongs to the devotee who loves him. And the devotee who loves him and in this way becomes free from all attachments through love, such a devotee also belongs to the Lord. Neither he nor I has any other true friend. My desires are always automatically fulfilled. But I take various births in this world just to bestow on my devotees the satisfaction of all their desires. So please tell me what you would like from me. So then Prahlad answered, refusing all material benedictions. And Lord Nrisimhadev continued, yes, of course, my dear child. Nothing is dear to you but the opportunity to see me. And so I feel more and more affection for you. But still, I would like to do some favor for you. Even though you're already successful in all respects, I want to give you something. So kindly choose some benediction just to please me. You can see the Lord is sort of twisting his arm, as they say, pressing him, come on, ask for something, because I want to give you something. Verse 10, Narada continues to Prahlad, responding to your Lord's love, you agreed to assume your father's throne. And as you told Lord Nrisimha in your prayers, by doing this, you wish to help deliver all people. You are still on that royal seat, fixed in meditation on Lord Nrisimha. So, yeah, it appears that Prahlad did agree to accept some blessing. He agreed to accept the throne of his father. But what his intention was for accepting all the wealth of Hiranyakashipu's kingdom? His intention was just to use all the wealth for preaching Krishna consciousness. And he thought, if I can arrange for the deliverance of everyone in the universe, then that may satisfy the Lord. So some may question that if Prahlad at first refused elevation to the spiritual kingdom, but later accepted some limited kingdom in the material world, that it seems curious. Why? How could that be? But it's because he had a special desire in his heart. He wanted to free the people of the world from their distresses. Yeah. He wasn't worried that if I get involved in all the politics and everything to do with government, that my Krishna consciousness will be reduced. He was confident that his meditation on the Lord would always protect him. Therefore he prayed. Yes, listen to this. My dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death, but because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, please deliver us and maintain us. Right. So this is a verse from the Bhagavatam, actually, 7.9.41. And it talks about falling into the river of death. So material existence is like the river Vaitarani, which is at the gateway to the court of death. Hari Bol. Yes. So in general, material life on earth is horrible, full of suffering, even no less than in hell, actually. And therefore, even though he's immune from those dangers, for our benefit, Prahlad speaks like he is fearing the danger, the troubles he can expect in various births and deaths. And he presents himself as if he's foolish like most people, or like most people who are completely into enemies and friends and are just bewildered all the time. So, and Prahlad in the verse quoted in the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam we just read, he addresses Lord Nrisimhadeva as Parachara, he who's situated on the other side of the Vaitarani River, or in other words, in Vaikuntha. And Prahlad appeals to the Lord to deliver all these people. And yes, it's very deep. Very deep. So, okay, let's go on to verse 11. Narada continues. You once went to Naimisha forest to have darshan of Narayan, who is known as the Lord in yellow dress. While on the road, you satisfied the Lord in combat, and he told you, yes, I am always conquered by you. So this is a pastime described in the Vamana Purana. Once Prahlad was going to Naimisharanya to see the Lord Pitavas. Which means basically the beautiful form of the Lord in yellow clothes. But while Prahlad was walking on the road, he met a strange person who looked like some sort of mendicant, but was carrying a warrior's bow and arrows. So Prahlad, seeing the strange get-up of the person, Prahlad assumed that he was a hypocrite, abusing the principles of religion, and therefore Prahlad started a fight with this person, vowing, I swear I shall defeat you. But even after 7 days of fighting, Prahlad couldn't defeat him. So, early one morning then, before resuming the battle, Prahlad worshipped his deity of the Lord. And placed a garland on the deity of his Lord. But when he looked up, he saw, the Lord means Pitavas, Pitavas. He offered a garland to the deity, but then when he looked up, he saw his opponent, this mendicant with weapons, unusual person, wearing the same garland that he'd offered to Lord Pitavas. And therefore, he understood, this is my Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. and he offered obeisances to the Lord. The Lord touched him with his lotus hand, and then Prahlad, this is interesting, listen to this. Prahlad asked Lord Pitavas what to do about having transgressed the duty of a Kshatriya by having made a promise to, in this case, to defeat his opponent, but not having fulfilled the promise. And the Lord, fully satisfied by the sport of fighting with Prahlad, said, "Don't you know, I am always defeated by you." Hare Krishna. So we will continue. You know, we'll actually continue on Monday. Tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, we're giving classes about Lord Ram to prepare for Ram Navami. But on Monday, we'll continue with Chapter 4 of the first part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.